Well, morning, everybody. It's been quite a journey for me, and I'll explain why I believe. Can you hear all right? It's okay? Yeah. This topic of desire for the fire, what do we mean, and why is this important? The desire for the fire of the Holy Spirit. I think many of us here would agree that we are really living in the closing ages, the closing years of the church age. There really isn't a lot of time left. There really isn't. And Satan knows that. Satan also knows that the job we've been given as a church, as people, as believers, I'm talking about the church universal, is impossible to achieve without the fire, the Holy Spirit. And that fire is the love of the gospel, the love of people, the love that God pours into our hearts. Satan knows. Take away the fire, takes away the gospel. That's the simple message, really, I want to get across this morning. And I want to explore through Scripture in the hope that all of us will be encouraged, me too. I mean, I'm the first one standing, and I think I absolutely need the Holy Spirit, and I'll explain why. So that's really the essence. So by God's grace, as we move through the presentation and the talk, I pray that each of us just ask the Lord to speak to us. Is there something that He's talking to us about? That's all I ask. I've always been challenged by that scripture that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me explain for me why this journey is so important. I'll just give you a quick insight into my journey and Robin's journey over the last 20-odd years. I remember 25 years ago, maybe, we were in a church in Johannesburg, and I remember as we went in, somebody gave us a blank check, and on the check said, "Your life," and there was a place for a signature, and the simple message was, "God wants all of you, wants all of me," and I remember I was a Christian, but this really spoke to me, and a few things happened. I committed my life to the Lord. I really laid everything down. What happened within a few weeks of that, I was struck with deafness. I woke up one day, I couldn't hear. We had a business. I couldn't hear a thing. My people, my staff and partners arrived, and all I could see was mouths moving, deaf. The long and the short of it was we lost our business. Okay. I've hardly been able to earn anything over the last 20 years. I've been ill often. Okay. That's beside the point. Here's what I understood of this whole process. This was an attack of the enemy. And I'll give you one little example. Meniere's disease, which is what this is, has many aspects to it. One of them is severe vertigo, where everything literally spins. And I'll give you the short version, but I'll tell you why I know this is the enemy, and I'll tell you why the subject for all of us is so important, and why he's trying in many different ways in amongst us. He will attempt to do things differently for us, but the objective is the same. Okay, that's the point. The objective is always the same. Right? Keep our mouth shut. Take away the power of the gospel. But let me give you a little bit of a story. I was in the Word. We were in England at this stage. I was in the Word, and I just knew that this was an attack of the enemy, and I knew that we had to stand against it. And I remember one evening I had this terrific vertigo attack, and I just said, "In the name of Jesus, go." And normally these attacks lasted hours, 3 to 4 hours. 30 seconds, it went. I thought, what's just happened? Okay. Well, hang on, that got worse. Satan knew I was onto something. Normally, I used to get attacks once every 6 weeks, for 3 weeks, every day, multiple times a day. I got these attacks, and every time I said, in the name of Jesus, go, and within seconds it went. Okay, I was completely exhausted, as you can imagine. But I knew, number one, the enemy was behind this. Number two, the word, the authority of the word, the power of God is the answer. So I'm really just putting that out there as an example. Okay, and I know that the enemy will always try and eliminate the power of God in our lives in some way. Okay, he might attack us by a family, by a work, by whatever. He's sly. Okay, so in this journey of mine, I studied the scriptures. I studied them in desperation, by the way. This is wasn't a voluntary thing. I was desperate. I mean, we've been in desperate straits. So it's through desperation. I went into the scriptures, and you know what I found? I found that salvation is so big. It's so much bigger than many of us understand. I've been in churches where you get snippets of the gospel, but the power of the whole gospel, the fact that we've been saved, sanctified, the Lord has raised us far above all principality and power. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have the authority he's given us to walk in power, to obey him. And yet, in my experience, over years and years and years, you find you just don't kind of see that, okay? So I've been challenged personally. That's it. The big question many, many Christians have is, what do we mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Wasn't I filled with the Holy Spirit when I was born again? Because we all have the Holy Spirit, don't we? Of course, the word promises we have the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you what I believe is when we're born again, absolutely we receive the Holy Spirit. But there's a baptism. I'll explain the difference. When Jesus met the woman of Samaria, remember at the well, and she asked for water, and Jesus said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. He said, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Okay? Here's my understanding. Disagree if you will, but here's how I understand it. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes. He gives us a well, a fountain. We drink from that. That's for our personal thirst, okay? That was in chapter 3 of John. Chapter 4. In chapter 7, Jesus says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's how I understand it. The fountain is for our personal joy. We all have that joy and that peace. But the rivers of living water that flow out of us is for ministry. It's outward. And the one huge distinction between a fountain and rivers, it's the same water, it's volume. You cannot compare a fountain or a well with rivers. To me, it's pretty obvious. So I see from Scripture a very, very clear distinction between receiving the Holy Spirit, which we all have, and he's wonderful, and we can have more of the Spirit. And he guides us and he gives us joy, etc. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's something distinct. And I'm desperate for that. Okay? Because I know what I'm up against. I know the Lord has called me to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. I've been stymied. I've been frustrated for years. And I'm still frustrated. I mean, without this equipment, I can hear absolutely nothing. Okay? And I know that's the enemy. And I know the answer is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the kingdom of God is infinitely more powerful than whatever Satan throws at us. Okay? And I put it to us, the question really is, and I just put it out there, guys, how many of us are absolutely certain, 100% certain, we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Maybe some of you folks have been had a full baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you had baptism years ago. Maybe it's dried out. I don't know. But that's the question I'm posing, because I've asked myself that question. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. It was Peter, the apostle, denied the Lord 3 times at his trial. Just a matter of a few weeks, completely transformed. There was Peter preaching, 3,000 people got saved. Okay, it was Philip. Philip went down to Samaria, preached the gospel with signs and wonders. Stephen, who was martyred, Scripture says he was full of faith and power, doing mighty miracles and wonders. There was Paul. I mean, the stories go on and on and on. I'm not even referring to Jesus. I'm talking about the disciples. The thing that really struck me and challenged me. There was Paul, shipwrecked on the Isle of on Malta. I could just kind of imagine them soaking, starving, pouring with rain, and there they are making a fire. Okay, and this viper clings and bites Paul. Paul just shakes it off and carries on. He didn't call for a prayer meeting or panic. He just ignored it. Why? He knew what he had. Trust me, the full of the Holy Spirit, disease will have to go, folks. How many of us are sick, included me? How many of us are ill? How many of us are struggling with all kinds of things? The Holy Spirit is so powerful. That's why Paul could say, you know, he was in prison how often was Paul in prison? And he just shrugged it off, okay? So anyway, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, here's some really challenging, interesting verses that completely challenged me. This is Peter speaking on the first sermon on Book of Acts. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Here's Jesus. He was attested or approved by his miracles, signs, and wonders. So Jesus preached the kingdom of God. But he didn't just preach the kingdom of God. God, the Father himself, attested to that message through miracles, signs, and wonders. Book of Hebrews, talking about the gospel going out during the early time, part of the year of the church. God also bearing them witness, God the Father, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So I look at those verses and ask myself if Jesus' ministry needed miracles, signs, and wonders for his ministry to be attested to this hostile, God-forsaken, God-hating world, can we expect to be ministers of the gospel without the same authenticating power that Jesus had? I say confidently, no. I have to, because the scripture tells me. So, where did this power come from? And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We know that Jesus when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit came on him. There's Jesus, the King, the Master, full of the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Did that drop in, folks? Jesus, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I find that immensely challenging. But in that, I find the solution to where that's it. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want to see people healed. I want to see people come to know the Lord. I would want to see queues of people because news gets out. Do you know what Jesus did? He healed the sick. And it wasn't long before multitudes followed him. I ask the question, imagine the church, not this, I'm talking about the church in general. Imagine if the church across Britain was a church like the Book of Acts. Imagine if miracles, healings, baptism of the Holy Spirit was happening, there would be multitudes of people seeking healing. That's fine, because that's God's way. Because then they preach the word, the Holy Spirit convicts them. Okay, but that's God's way. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I know we believe that. There's many folks who struggle to believe that for all kinds of reasons, okay? And we've all had our disappointments. I mean, I know in my history of being as a Christian, I've had loads of people pray for me. I've had disappointments. A lot of people have had experiences of the charismatic years with some good things and some bad things, etc. So quite often we are disappointed. But that's why the word says that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Quite often we as humans, because kind of that's how we often are, we get disappointed. We say, well, it doesn't work. And somebody writes a book that says, you know, that's all bad stuff. So you see where we're coming from? We take our eyes off the word. If all we listened to was the word and the Holy Spirit, we would have clarity. Folks, we would have such clarity on this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. See, the kingdom of God and healing the sick are together. You can't separate them. Okay? Because the kingdom of God annihilates the kingdom of darkness. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. How ridiculous would it be going out to preach the kingdom of God and nothing happens? There's no powerful demonstration of it. Makes no sense. Somebody says, I represent the kingdom of God. It's the most powerful kingdom in the universe. Really? Show me. Where? There it is, folk. So, we all know this scripture. John the Baptist talking about Jesus, he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's that fire, folks. It's something that, and we'll see what the fire is in a minute. What is the fire? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's the fire of God's presence, his hope is and his power in us. I mean, this, we hear this so often. We become almost too familiar with Scripture, if I can use that phrase. But if we actually stop and think about what all this means, okay, God himself, in all his grace and power, comes to live right inside of me. Okay. what happens when that happens is that we stop flinging prayers up to the Lord and say, Lord, take... He says, speak. I'm in you. Speak. Do. It's a whole different ballgame. So another reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is with when we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe, and I have the Holy Spirit, but I want the full, I want it all. We will know. That's what Jesus said. No longer will you, you'll ask the Father in my name and he will do it. It's no longer flinging prayers up to heaven. The Holy Spirit just walks in you and you work and you speak and you heal and you preach and you touch people. Doesn't matter. We're not all called to preach on the street, but the words of our mouths will be full of power. Full of power. Conviction will come. I believe the Lord is challenging me and maybe challenging some of us about his power and the desire he wants to build in us for that. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize, submerge. Okay, this is not the fountain, folks. Baptize, submerge, overwhelm. If you look at the Greek word of baptize, baptizo, it's to submerge, it's to overwhelm. Okay? A well is a sprinkle. This is complete submersion with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What then happens? And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, I don't believe that you have to motivate Christians to be witness unless they have the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit, that fire's there. You will want to. You will be compelled. There will be something in us that says, does that person know the Lord? Is there a chance? Of, you know, what does the Lord want to do? Okay. Where we lack that motivation, maybe it's a lack of the fire. Okay. And that's why the Lord, by his grace, he doesn't make demands on us without equipping us. And I think that's the point. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Again, folks, right through Scripture, right through Jesus' ministry, how often did he say to somebody, your faith has made you well? The Father says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So there's a dynamic in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that makes walking with the Lord a powerful, almost automatic thing. Okay? We don't struggle. That's the point. It's not about struggle. The one who's going to struggle is the enemy because he's up against somebody much more powerful than him. That's where the struggle lies. No wonder Paul, visiting a church in Ephesus, because he heard that the gospel had gone up to Ephesus, he meets some Christians. First question he asks them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Not when you believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He knew. These people have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the number one thing. He knew they were saved. He assumed they were saved. They happened to be followers of John the Baptist. That's not the issue. He saw them as believers. So the thing that's challenged me are the scriptures that pertain to me, that pertain to us. John 14, Jesus talking, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Books have been written explaining why that doesn't mean what it says. Sorry, it's very plain to me. It's simple. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll find all kinds of reasons why that means something else. Let's go on. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you." This is staggering. "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Wow, that's incredible. Effectively, Jesus is saying, the precise mission I have, the mission that the Father gave me, I'm handing over to you. Plain. Which reinforces everything that we've been talking about, because it's saying, well, how on earth can we do that? Well, don't worry. Wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's coming. Don't worry. When he comes, you will be witnesses. "Behold, I give unto you," this is to the 70. Remember during his gospel, he sent out the 70 two by two. The 70 came back and said, "Well, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said, "Fine, don't get too excited about that. The main thing you need to understand is your name is written in the book in heaven." But he continued, he said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Behold, I give you power to tread. And it's fascinating. And at the end of Romans, Paul, Romans 16, 20, I think it is, Paul says to the believers, it's kind of closing remarks on the whole of book of Romans, he says, "And the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly." Didn't say the God of peace is going to crush Satan for you. He said the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. Just like a reminder to them. And so this particular verse challenged me because I'll tell you which part challenged me a lot was, "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Okay, well, how many people are hurt? Me, you? How many Christians do we know who have been hurt in various ways? And the answer came to me, because the Lord's, it's in the, he says, "You don't want to be hurt? Use the power I've given you to tread on serpents and scorpions." Don't come to me. Don't come to me and ask me to take it away. I've given you power and authority. I mean, what would Jesus have said to them and said, "Well, we've been out to all the villages, Jesus, and we spoke to a few people. We were a bit worried about the healing bit, though. So we laid off that and nothing happened." And what would Jesus have said to them? You know, "Didn't you get it?" You know, okay. But they didn't. They believed, you see. So I'm just bringing that out. I'm saying, there it is. I know I need, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I need to be able to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, if Jesus always referred to demons, serpents and scorpions, you know, Chad, that there's serpents and scorpions. A snake is always a bit more dangerous than a serpent, okay? A scorpion can sting us. A serpent can kill us, okay? So there's different there's different. There's a whole unseen world of the enemy there that we need to be discerning about. Okay. Anyway, our gospel with signs. It's our gospel. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything, any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. And so we faced, as believers, as a church, as a church all over the world, our primary mission. Now, this seriously challenges me, folks. I mean, I'm just standing here talking, but this, I get seriously challenged. All right, it's very seriously challenged. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, but all of us have a world. I mean, it might just be family, it might be colleagues, it might be neighbor, but we all have a world. And we may be the only people in our world able to meet those people's needs. That's quite a responsibility. Satan's opposition. I think we'll recognize a few of these. A watered-down gospel full of compromise. I mean, it's his strategy, folks. And we should be able to recognize it like that. Okay? Just like that. An incomplete gospel through unbelief. Don't worry. Well, your sins are forgiven, but don't worry. The Lord doesn't want to use you. Just relax. What Satan's doing is taking out, undermining the very mission and purpose that the Lord has given us. The lie that somebody else will do it. I find that seriously challenging. I keep thinking of Jeremy, our neighbor. He's a lovely guy. I mean, I can't hear him. That's why, Lord, please heal me, because I want to go and speak to him. Okay? He's got a very soft voice, so it's very hard to... But somebody else will do it. No, I've got to do it. I have to talk to Jeremy. Fear of man, huge. Oh, I'm very familiar with that. Okay? These are some of Satan's subtle, sly weapons aimed at us, and they're so subtle and so sly, and so they slither in, okay? But they have the effect. Feelings of inadequacy. Oh, I couldn't do that. Can't possibly. So, kind of bringing this to a close, I really believe that the Lord has a unique call for all of us, you know, and he uses us in different ways, obviously. But we have a common mission, if you like. Okay? It's common. It's about the gospel, but the Lord wants to use us. And just reflecting on my own journey and reflecting what I believe the Lord has been showing me, the challenge and related to the Holy Spirit, these are some of the challenges I've faced, is that we can't walk in the power of God unless we completely surrender to the Lord. The Holy Spirit can't fill something that's already full of other stuff. Okay? So we need to ask the Lord, how do we make room? Okay? It's simple, but it's true. And that surrender means, Lord, get rid of anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay? Whatever, yeah, you have my life, it's surrendered. Okay? Anointing and power, which is what we're talking about. Okay, so each of these headings could be a whole teaching in themselves. But anointing and power, baptism, the Holy Spirit, what does that do? And I've discovered, and let me share again, in my exploring of the scriptures, the number of times I've had a physical attack for many years, at the very moment the Lord has revealed something to me in his word, I've lost count, okay? Because the Holy Spirit brings revelation, okay? And Satan does not want us to have revelation. He wants us to be muddling around in the basics that aren't of any danger to him, okay? And what does revelation do? Faith and authority. Faith and authority comes by revelation of what the Lord has done for us and how we're seated with him. And you'll notice all of these things follow the anointing or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What happens after faith and authority? Well, obedience, stepping out the boat. Okay, so here's the crunch. For all of us, whatever the Lord is leading you to do, it's not going to be easy because it's going to require a step of faith, which means stepping out of the boat, stepping out of what keeps you, what makes you feeling really safe and secure. You have to step out the boat. Okay, that's challenging. Okay, but it's real. What happens when we are obedient? We will be tested, okay? Jesus, we know, went into the wilderness, was tested for 40 days, okay? The apostles were thrown in jail. I mean, that was nothing. You know, again, reading the book of Acts, where persecution started, and people were being arrested, and they just scattered. Now, I'm trying to translate that into our lives. Can you imagine leaving your home, leaving your job, leaving your... You literally run for your life. But they didn't go and hide in the back desert. They took the word with them, and the word spread. I mean, it's staggering, okay? That's just not normal, okay? But it is normal for Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Testing. And ultimately, fruit. So all these things, Jesus followed. All these things the apostles followed. All these things, I believe, are for us. A final close. We know that Satan's goal is to stop our witness. Okay, that's his objective. In order to stop our witness, or the witness of the church, he has to prevent us from having power. In order to prevent us from having power, he must prevent us from being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a simple strategy. And that's why we need to seek the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm desperate for the Holy Spirit. I think there are three subtle lies the enemy has fed into churches. I've bought some of these lies for a time, but the scriptures, let them go, but let me reveal them to you. First one is all believers are baptized in the Holy Spirit when they become believers. Okay? We know it's not true. Okay? It just isn't true, folks. It just isn't true. Okay? You want to see where the power of God is moving mightily, you'll see it's different. They understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Miracles, signs, and wonders are no longer available today. Do we leave the word, or do we believe what we see, or what we hear, or what we read? See, the enemy, again, is so subtle. He simply takes out these things to the degree at which we are so used to not seeing them that we assume they're gone. That's what he's done. They're not gone. They were never gone. Seeking God's supernatural power is flaky and dangerous. It's another lie. You see, we know there's been lots of abuse in the charismatic. I mean, lots of abuse, crazy stuff. But that's Satan, because all he wants us to do is throw the baby out of the bathwater. And he's done it, and he succeeded. Okay? So, that's me done. I'm hoping that somehow something has settled in our hearts about what we've been talking about this morning. For me, I'm seeking the fire. It's the number one thing in my life right now. And you will know, you will all know when it comes, because I'll tell you, you'll notice, okay? Because I won't be the same. I will not be the same as I am right now today. So I'm hoping in the not too distant future, I will have a different testimony. But I'm also hoping that maybe, perhaps, the Holy Spirit has challenged some of us. Let the Lord have his way with us. And so I would humbly say, maybe for the next few minutes, let's just quieten our hearts before the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Let's just seek the Lord. If the Lord is speaking to you, take it to heart. If anyone wants prayer, come forward. Let's pray. If anybody has a testimony, if anybody wants to say something, in other words, if anybody here today has heard from God in a very distinct way, please come and share it, because we all need encouragement. We need to encourage each other. So thank you, folks.
Faith and deep refining. Marla's going to sing another song in a minute, but just if anyone does want prayer, please come up to the front. Wilf and I and Jamie are more than happy to pray for you about anything. We'll have another song, and then after that, even though it's a bit early, we'll call it a day. And please feel free to stay for the teas and coffees. But let's just have a time of ministry. Let's just keep focusing on God. But yeah, if you need prayer, please come up and we will pray for you. Thank you.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in.
Set a fire down in my
sorrow that I can't contain, that I can't control, 'cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control, 'cause I want.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can come and worship with you. Thank you, Father, that we owe everything we are because of you. Thank you, Father, that we can come before you desperate because we know we are completely lost without you. As that song says, we need you more. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Jamie's at the back. If anyone would like prayer, teas and coffees will be served in a minute. Thank you.